good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in to the Friday program. No video tonight. I just don't feel up to it. I just don't feel up to it. I feel, I've had a bad hairs day. It is Friday. Thank you for tuning in. Boy, Glenn Beck and his horse Breitbart were at it again. They inspiring more people to more criminal activity, this time from Des Moines, Iowa. Two former employees of a contract company that went to work for the U.S. Department of Education. Now, that's important. Contractors who are working for the Department of Education under the I'm sure don't ask, don't tell thing have pled guilty. Two of them have pled guilty to illegally viewing President Barack Obama's student loan records. Now, why do you suppose these two right-wing jacklegs would want to look at Obama's student loan records, right? Oh, my God. Judy Klein of Ainsworth, Iowa, pleaded guilty today to exceeding authorized computer access. Gary Grinnell of Iowa City pleaded guilty to the charge July 12th. Both faced up to a year in prison and a $100,000 fine. Well, that's going to keep you two jerks busy for a while, right? They were among nine former employees of some private contracting company, and I haven't looked them up, Vangent, V-A-N-G-E-N-T, Vangent Inc., accused of viewing Obama's student loan records between 2007 and 2009. That's not when he was a student. That's when these creepy bastards decided, let's go take a look. Three other people in this case have pled guilty. Four are scheduled for trial. Whew. The attorneys who represent the two that were that pled guilty in Des Moines today, the attorneys for them haven't answered phone calls from the Associated Press. Jesus, God. This is Breitbart and Beck and the little turkey Hannity trying to, let's see what we can get. Let's see. It's just unrelenting. It's just unrelenting. Remember when Dan Rather made an attempt to air documents that showed that George W. Bush was a cowardly little rat who ran from his National Guard service in Texas and disappeared in Alabama? Remember what happened to that, Dan Rather? So, again, I call for the immediate removal of these people from any kind of a public forum. You know, it's well known in D.C. that John Boehner is a drunk. The House Republican leader, he gets loaded and he climbs into one of those tanning booths and spends the afternoon. That's why the Republicans don't do anything. They've done nothing. They've done nothing for 2 years. Boehner's family apparently are also either insane or involved in alcoholism too. His brother, this is according to Associated Press, the brother of John Boehner, would have, this guy's on unemployment, as is most of Boehner's family here, according to the Associated Press. They're all on unemployment. But the brother of John Boehner, 61-year-old Bob Boehner, would have seen his unemployment benefits dry up, go away, if John Boehner has succeeded to defeat the extension of benefits bill that passed the House this week. And 61-year-old Bob Boehner said today that he's not bitter. I'm not bitter that my brother opposed it. Bob Boehner says he doesn't want his brother voting for government programs that aren't paid for. Even if that hurts him, Bob Boehner. He lost his job with the city of Reading, the Ohio City. Well, it's pronounced Reading in PA. I don't know what it's pronounced in Ohio. Reading, Ohio, or Reading, Ohio. He lost his job back in February. This miserable bastard's been unemployed since February. Poor thing. John Boehner's sister, Linda Meineke, like the Muffler family. Sister Linda says Bob is one of two brothers and two brothers-in-law in Ohio who are all out of work. Whole damn families unemployed. I mean, they're all out of work. But John Boehner told reporters before the vote that three brothers had lost jobs during the recession. He wasn't sure which, if any, had found work. Three of his brothers. He doesn't know which ones are working. You drunk jerk. Oh, my God. But I think what this proves, beyond any doubt at all, is that Republican family members, Republicans, they don't care how bad they're doing. Unless John Boehner is taking money from people under the table. I mean, he is the House Minority Leader. He's probably got offers all day long. He may be taking money illegally and passing it on to his three unemployed brothers and his unemployed sisters and his unemployed in-laws and his unemployed... Yeah, everybody in the Boehner family is unemployed except John. John's employed. He's employed pretty good. Plus, he got time to drink and get in a tanning booth. Yeah. But this is a classic example, is it not, of the racism and the stupidity and the insanity that can exist inside the same family. These people would do anything to support the right-wing political agenda, even if it means continuing, or even if it meant not getting any further unemployment benefits. Now, this is probably, the whole story is probably political garbage. It probably Boehner said to his brothers, all right, now here, listen, here's what you do. Here's what you do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to say, you know, and then he hands him a script. Now, I'm going to vote against this unemployment insurance extension, but it'll pass. It's going to pass, and, you know, the Kenyan in the White House will sign it then. But I want, here's what I want you boys to do. And, of course, they probably said something to the effect, well, John, if you keep the money coming, we'll say anything you want to say. Whole damn family. A bunch of drunks. They're insane. You ever watch Boehner when he's talking with that half open eye thing he has going? He just kind of looks at it like, that reminds me of a little bit of Dean Martin. I don't mean he does. I mean the half open eyelid thing. I'm John Boehner. President Obama is not pushing me around. Yeah. What a tribe. So the assault against the Kenyan in the White House goes on, and obviously it's not going to stop. But I was fascinated when I saw that. John Boehner, his whole family is unemployed. None of them work. Why should they work? Now, they say, well, you know, we don't want money if it's not going to be funded. Okay, let's see how quickly the three Boehner boys don't cash their unemployment checks. Huh? It doesn't make any difference how Brother John voted, does it, Bob? Doesn't make any difference. You don't want the assistance. You said that.
Yeah, I don't want anything that's unfunded. I get a drink around here. Jesus Christ, every time I go to John's office, the liquor's flowing all over the place. Well, what? What?
So, let's see how quickly, and I'm sure an enterprising television station in Boehner's hometown will get some kind of video out there showing the Boehner boys refusing their unemployment comp checks, right? They've got the extension coming now, and old Bob Boehner's been unemployed since February, but that doesn't make any difference. He doesn't want any of the unfunded stuff.
No, I ain't no commie. I ain't no damn commie. And besides, my brother John gets me plenty of money. You know, he gets money from all kinds of...
Hey!
I told you not to talk. I'm sorry, John. I didn't, you know, damn Malloy got me to say something.
We'll be back. These people just crack me up. They just absolutely, absolutely crack me up. Found out something today about Governor Jan Brewer, from KPHO.com, CBS 5 in Phoenix. You're going to find this interesting. Stick around.
cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, Governor Jan Brewer, who is a right-wing nutcase if ever one existed in the state of Arizona, she's been talking about all the murder and mayhem going on in the state of Arizona as a result of those, you know, dirty, nasty, illegal immigrants, beheadings and, oh my God, kidnappings, murders in Arizona. Crime is up, so on and so forth. They also have Arizona's immigration law that she signed, SB 1070. And as a result of that, or as a result of a crappy economy, Bush economy, tourism in the state is down a bit, only about 10%. State politicians, of course, are not helping matters. Take a look at cable news, and you're likely to see an anchor or reporter talking about an invasion at the border. That would be on Fox. Or headless bodies in the desert. That would be on Fox. Or a rash of kidnappings. That would be on Fox. And according to KPHO.com, CBS 5 in Phoenix, during this election cycle, Arizona politicians have been talking about, if that's the right phrase, more like screaming about the potential danger of illegal immigration. And Jan is one of the loudest voices, Governor Jan. She's made several statements to the national media, the validity of which CBS 5 investigates. That's her investigative team on KPHO. They couldn't confirm this. But the governor told one media outlet that almost all illegal immigrants are bringing drugs across the border. The U.S. Border Patrol official said that statement is completely, totally false. In other words, it's a lie. Governor Jan has made several statements to the national media, including law enforcement officials have found decapitated bodies in the Arizona desert. Oh, calls to all of Arizona's border county medical examiners revealed not one. Ever. Now, on the Mexican side, the Mexican gangs, the drug war, well, sure. But Governor Jan, you see, the Arizona deserts are littered with decapitated bodies. Brewer has also said the crime is up. A look at the data from the FBI shows that crime in Arizona is actually down. Murders in Phoenix have dropped by 50% since 2003. 50%. Violent crime across the state of Arizona has dropped every year since at least 2004. Even the number of illegal border crossers is down. Border Patrol numbers show that they're arresting half as many illegal immigrants as they did in 2004. No, really? U.S. Attorney for Arizona Dennis Burke told CBS 5 Investigates, quote, if you're not into drug trafficking and you're not into human smuggling, you're going to be safe here in Arizona. This is a safe place to live. Well, not according to Governor Jan. No! We live in a hellhole of crime, destruction, death, beheadings, drugs, kidnappings. Oh, my God! Why would the governor of a state, in a time of economic downturn, after a bill was passed that pissed off a lot of people, granted, I've seen the surveys where like 89% of Americans surveyed agree with the bill passed. Of course, if your illegal border crossers are down by 50%, crime is down across the board. There are no beheadings. The kidnappings are usually Christian fanatics who kidnap young girls and try to convert them to Mormonism or something. Why would a governor of a state be doing this? I mean, most governors right now are freaking out, right? They want business. They want tourists. They want tax revenue. They want something. Help! Help! They even want the federal government to help them. Well, Jan Brewer, in the past few days, has held, if not a series of meetings, a couple of meetings with Janet Napolitano. Remember her? She was the former governor of Arizona, wasn't she? Yeah, I think so. She now heads Department of Homeland Security. Is that right? I think I got all that right. They had some private meetings. Nobody invited. Just private meetings. What's going on? Well, let's see. Crime is down across the board. Illegal border crossings are down across the board. There are no beheadings. There's none of this violence that the governor is talking about. What? Why? You know, you scratch your head and you roll your eyes and you think there's got to be a reason for this. There is. I'll tell you about it when we come back.
Mr. Nice Guy. Here's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. So why would Jan Brewer, governor of Arizona, and some of the other state politicians be painting such an ugly, negative, crime-infested, murderous, decapitating, drug smuggling, dealing, guns, death, destruction image of the state of Arizona, when the facts are just the opposite? Crime is down. Even illegal border crossings is down by 50%. You didn't know that, did you, Juicy? Neither did I. All this comes from KPHO, CBS 5, television station in Phoenix. Well, there's a reason, apparently. And a CBS 5 investigation revealed that there is one business that could gain from the implementation of SB 1070, the one that was passed in Arizona that is so anti-immigrant, and similar immigration measures. The private prison industry houses illegal immigrant detainees for the federal government. Those companies could gain contracts with state and local agencies to house illegal immigrants arrested for state violations. CCA, you've heard of them, Corrections Corporation of America, holds the federal contract to house detainees in Arizona. The company bills $11 million per month. CBS 5 investigates has learned that two of Governor Brewer's top advisors have connections to CCA. Paul Sensiman is the governor's deputy chief of staff. He's also a former lobbyist for CCA. His wife is listed as a current lobbyist for the company. Chuck Coughlin is one of the governor's policy advisors and her campaign chairman. Coughlin's company, High Ground Public Affairs Consultants, lobbies for CCA. CCA, well, you get the point. I mean, I don't have to stand here with a huge pointer and point to the places where the dots all intersect. Well, dots can intersect if you are Jan Brewer, if you are a teabagger, if you're a Republican, if you're a conservative, if you are trying to lie your state, lie the residents of your state into believing that your state is a veritable cesspool of crime, murder, beheadings, drug smuggling, guns, death. Oh, my God! Then it makes it much easier, you see, to pass something like SB 1070. Not only that, the meeting with Janet Napolitano, what do you suppose that was about? Huh? You think it might have been about shifting some more federal detainees to the great state of Arizona? You think? So that CCA would benefit? So that Jan Brewer's staff will benefit? You think? CCA issued the following statement to CBS 5 Investigates.
CCA, Corrections Corporation of America, unequivocally did not at any time lobby, nor do we have any outside consultants to lobby anyone in Arizona on the immigration law.
No, that would be too obvious. So your statement is a defense of something that you're not being accused of. But that's an old trick.
Nor are we proposing to house detainee immigrants as a result of SB 1070.
You don't have to propose it. Your lobbyists, the people who are lobbying, lobbyists for your country, your company, they're independent contractors, aren't they, CCA? They're not your employees, they're lobbyists. They'll do the dirty work for you.
We did not at any time lobby, nor do we have any outside consultants lobby anyone in Arizona on immigration law.
A difference without a distinction, is that what they say? The difference is, of course, that you don't have to have someone within your company do it. You hire outside lobbying firms.
Nor do we propose, or are we proposing, to house detainee immigrants as a result of SB 1070. We currently have no contracts with the state or any counties.
Well, of course. But you want them. Of course you don't have them now. They do have contracts with the federal government. So another... Methinks the lady doth protest too much.
CCA very proudly does have a presence in Arizona, as we own and operate six correctional facilities, employing more than 2,500 Arizona residents. These contracts are with other state and federal jurisdictions.
Well, there's only one state jurisdiction. That's the state of Arizona. So, the tourism rate in Arizona might be down 10%, along with crime. Murders in Phoenix have dropped 50% since 2003. Violent crime rate across the state has dropped every year in the past 6 years. The number of illegal border crossers is down. Border Patrol numbers show that they are arresting half as many illegal immigrants as they did in 2004. And they have all kinds of new Border Patrol people. Plus, hey, guess what? They're sending 2,500 troops down there. Yee-haw! The authorities, the county, the county sheriffs say, beheadings? The county coroners say, beheadings? We haven't seen any beheadings. No. Border Patrol say that illegal immigrants, contrary to what the governor said, that almost all illegal immigrants are bringing... The Border Patrol official said that statement is false. And all of Arizona's border county medical examiners, when contacted by CBS 5, KPHO in Phoenix, said, no, we haven't had any decapitated bodies at all. So it's not just Fox News Channel and Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and what's his name, Breitbart, or Drudge. Breitbart used to say he was Matt Drudge's bitch, so take that for whatever you want. But they're allowed to lie. Why not allow the governor to lie? They all lie. I told you before on this program that every Republican lies. Every right-winger lies. They're the same. Every conservative lies to make the facts, such as he or she would identify them, fit their warped, degenerate political philosophy. And they actually don't have a political philosophy. Conservatism is a terrorist movement. But there you have it. Now, I'm just wondering, CBS 5, put this story out. I don't, did it come out today? I'm not sure if it came out today or not, but you can check it out. You can go to KPHO website. But I wonder when the corporate media is going to pick up on this. And good for the work done by CBS 5 Investigates. Every city has a remaining cadre of journalists. They don't get the attention. Some piece of human feces like Breitbart gloms up the entire news cycle for 2 days with his lies and deceptions. And they do it deliberately. While everybody's talking about Ms. Sherrod, Barack Obama was signing an extension of unemployment benefits for 2.5 million people so that they don't go completely belly up. But that news has to be covered up. So a pig like Breitbart and a collection of liars and Nazis like you will find at Fox News, they manufacture a story like this and put it out there, and everybody wets their pants and runs around with their hair on fire about, oh, did you see the Negro? You see that woman? Oh, my God. She said bad things about a white farmer. Oh, see? There you go. Racism, racism, racism. Woo-woo. You sick right-wing bastards. So good on CBS 5. You notice it's not Fox 5. It's CBS 5 in Phoenix for the work they did to disconnect a few dots. Just a few. Hey, Jan Brewer. Look at all these people connected to Jan Brewer right up in her bra, right up in her panties. They are that close to her. They are just like second skin. One of them's her campaign manager. You can't get any closer than that, baby. And look who they lobby for. My goodness.
Truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
Things got rough, things got tough, things got harder than high. We were just trying to make a living in our backyard. We were born too late, died too soon, anxiety's a terrible
10 before the hour. James Inhofe, another freak, another right-wing freak, Inhofe from Oklahoma. Remember last winter when there was snow all over the ground, these huge snowstorms in D.C., and Inhofe and his equally crazed family, apparently they're crazed, they got out and built an igloo and said it was a memorial to, what's his name? Al Gore. Whew, those moments are coming faster and faster. And they made such a joke about, well, if there's global warming, what is all the snow doing? Which shows the collective ignorance of this entire family, not just Inhofe, but his entire family. Because global warming means there's more moisture. More moisture in the winter means, right, more snow! But anyway, Inhofe has for years, repeated that charge that climate change is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the American people, right? And he pointed to the snowstorms last February as proof. Sick freak. On his website, he says that climate change is a hoax, that the weather is not getting warmer, and as a matter of fact, we're in a cooling period. Earlier this month, the communists and liars and socialists over at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration announced that globally, 2010 is the hottest year on record since record keeping began towards the last part of the 19th century. And Inhofe was still willing to walk around like a jerkass. He got ABC's John Carl invited Inhofe to talk about the issue outside the Capitol building in 95-degree humid July heat. Here's part of that interview.
You remember the photograph, right?
I remember it very well. That's my daughter and her family of six.
And the igloo, and it says Al Gore's new home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has the igloo melted?
Oh, yes. The igloo's long gone.
This is a list of all the cities in the United States just in the month of July.
Uh-huh.
That have had record temperatures in the month of July.
Yeah, all right.
So does that make you second guess what
no,
you're
saying
back in February?
I can show you the list of the same cities in the month of January and February that were setting a cold record in those times. And what did all the advocates, the hysterical people say at that time? They said, well, you can't judge it by one day at a time or something like that.
Yeah, but yeah. The 95-degree temperatures we're seeing here...
I say the same thing as we said back in January and February when we had the coldest winter that we've had in a long time.
But back then you said we were on a cold spell that we're
it. Actually, we are, yes.
And cold spell?
I don't think that anyone disagrees with the fact that we actually are in the middle of a cold period that started about 9 years ago. Now, that's not me talking. Those are the scientists who say that.
The scientists? Which scientists are those? Jimmy Boy, we're scientists. Thomas Peterson, chief scientist at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's National Climatic Data Center, says that while some people may still believe that the planet is not getting warmer, data measuring a broad spectrum of indicators proves, quote, far and away, end quote, that the planet is not in a cooling period, but is actually still in the process of heating up.
But NOAA is saying that this is the hottest year on record globally. So doesn't that suggest anything to you? You were out in February saying, oh, we've got these, big snowstorms. It's, record cool and record cold in Oklahoma. I mean, now that we're seeing...
But what did you say, and the people on the other side of this argument back in January and February, they said, Inhofe, it has nothing to do with today's or this month's or next month's temperature. We're looking at a long period of time. We go into these 20-year periods. We're into a cycle now that all the scientists agree is going into a cooling period.
Even though NOAA just told us that this is the hottest year on record.
Again, the same response. You can ask as many times as you want to. This is the same response that I had last January and February. You don't take it one day at a time or one month at a time. This is a long period of time.
So I don't expect we'll see a...
Catastrophic global warming is not occurring.
So where do you think the science is, though? I mean, given that we're on the hottest year on record, you don't think
where the science is right now is that we began to go into a cooling period and came out of the warming period that we were in before that endured about 20 years. I can go back to 1895 and go through all these periods, about approximately 30 years in each period. But we clearly went from a warming period to a cooling period about 9 years ago.
See... With that kind of mind-blowing ignorance, and it doesn't make any difference with right-wingers, with Republicans, whether it's ignorance about global climate change, whether it's ignorance about the economy, whether it's ignorance about global conflicts, it doesn't make any difference. Ignorance about taxes, ignorance. You know, the teabaggers tell you that we're being taxed to death. And we had some stats on this program a couple of weeks ago. We are paying the lowest effective tax rate. We're down to 17%. But facts don't mean anything to right-wingers, to Republicans, nothing. Facts are irritating little gnats that get in the way. But for Inhofe to be presented with evidence from from the scientific community. It doesn't matter to these people. They don't give a damn. Show me, what do you...
You want to believe your lying eyes, or do you want to believe me? It's that Kenyan in the White House. He's lying to us. There's no global warming. What are you talking about? You must be crazy.
Yeah, I have restructured and reformed my belief that we ought to just go ahead and give it to these right-wing bastards. Well, if we want to commit global suicide, which, I don't know, Glenn Beck would tell you that's not a bad idea. The hour. This is the Molloy program. It's just too much to get one's mind around. You ever feel that way? And all of it, if it has to do with Republicans, it's all about fraud, graft, and corruption. Corruption. Ali sent me this. There is a report on BBC's website on the working homeless in Orange County, California, which was one of the well-known, or it still is, one of the well-known conservative counties in California. Ali writes, Orange County has always been portrayed as the richest, most prosperous county in California. Yet it seems to have very high numbers of poor and homeless to the point where the BBC decided to report on it. The video, it's at bbc.co.uk or news.bbc.co.uk. The short video, Ali writes, shows how working people such as certified nursing assistants struggle, or a certified nursing assistant struggles to feed her children and find a place to live. And as a result, folks like this particular person are having to rent rooms in rundown motels and have their children compete with other homeless kids in such activities as dumpster diving. It's the BBC reporting on us. And as Ali writes, if I'm not mistaken, this was Rush Limbaugh's vision for the working poor of America. It seems that his dream has already come true. I personally, Ali writes, don't find it surprising that our society has fallen to such a disastrous level, but I do find it interesting that it's always the so-called conservative cities and counties that are in the worst possible shape during harsh economic times. You notice that too, huh? Ali goes on, these are places where, according to right-wing theories, everyone should have a decent job, be living happily, and prosper forever and ever, thanks to all the rich people who live there tax-free, and their massive wealth and giant businesses. You know, like the trickle-down thing. Where else would the trickle-down thing be flowing more, just flow down like a mighty river? Except in places like Orange County, right? Ali writes, isn't it time for the so-called diehard Republicans and conservative Democrats and middle-of-the-roaders to open their eyes and realize that the idea of trickle-down economics that they have been fooled to believe in has miserably failed them? As always, of course, the U.S. media outlets are keeping their cameras and reporters as far away as possible from these neighborhoods. Maybe they figured out we already know how dire the situation is. News.bbc.co.uk, and it's about homeless, the working homeless in America. How about that term? Do you like that term, huh? You right-wing punks and all you normal people out there, how does that term, you know, it just, I don't know, it gives me the fevers. Working homeless. Working homeless. What a term, huh? What a term. Rob in New York, trying to bring a little bit of levity into this otherwise dark and morose program. Rob writes, Mike, I can't believe I'm the only person. Oh, he's referring to the LVAD, the LVAD that was inserted into the lifeless corpse of Dick Cheney to keep him alive. Mike, I can't believe I'm the only person who's, this has occurred to, but I haven't heard anyone mention that reversing the first two letters of Cheney's fiendish devices acronym produces Vlad, the name of the person on whom the Dracula legend is apparently based, Vlad the Impaler. Well, truth be told, Rob, I didn't catch that either. Yeah, it's an LVAD. Is that how it's an LVAD, LVAD, the thing that is swooshing blood through Cheney's useless chambers. The LVAD. That's right. Change it around a little bit and you have Vlad. Vlad the Impaler! Well, I think Cheney would have loved to have lived in the in those times. What was that? The 12th century? 13th century? And, of course, wasn't Vlad impaling Muslim invaders? I don't know who he was impaling. I've always thought that that part of the world, Romania and Transylvania and Moldova, in the, is that in the Caucasus Mountains? No, I don't think it is. Somebody's going to send me a Google map now. But that part of the world, I'd love to go there sometime. But it scares the hell out of me. I don't know why. It's just scary. It's just scary. All the stories that came out of that part of the Middle Europe. Spooky. This one is very, very sad. The Associated Press is reporting that a major federal investigation has found that dozens of military officials and defense contractors, including some with top-level security clearances, bought and downloaded child pornography on private or government computers. Dozens. Military officials and defense contractors, including some with top-level clearances. Huh? The Pentagon today, yeah, it was a document dump today. It's Friday. The Pentagon today released investigative reports spanning almost a decade that implicated individuals working with agencies handling some of the nation's most closely guarded secrets, including the National Security Agency, the National Reconnaissance Office, which operates U.S. spy satellites, defense workers who purchase child porn, put the Department of Defense, quote, the military and national security at risk by compromising computer systems, military installations, and security clearances, end quote. A 2007 investigative report said. But let's focus on the Kenyan in the White House. No, I know. Let's talk about those illegal Mexicans coming across the border with their heads under their arms down in Arizona. The Boston Globe disclosed the results of the investigations today after obtaining the documents through the Freedom of Information Act. The Defense Department released the reports, which are heavily redacted, with most names and details about each case omitted. Well, I guess so. Now, how many of those people are Christian, Protestant, or Catholic? How many of them are fundamentalists? And I will guarantee you that every single one of them is a family values Republican. Yes, indeed. I ain't no queer. I just like to look at pictures of naked little girls and naked little boys. That's all. Why, is there anything wrong with that? Sick bastards. Several suspects were convicted and sentenced to prison terms of up to about 5 years in order to pay heavy fines. In the older case from 2007... In a Virginia case, a contractor working for the National Security Agency was indicted on child pornography charges but fled the country. He's believed to be hiding in Libya. I'm not laughing. Because none of the children in the images could be identified as required for prosecution through the federal system, the U.S. Attorney's Office had declined to take action. In a case in 2003, a case in 2009, cases in 2007. The project to weed these sickos out has identified more than 5,000 individuals who subscribe to child pornography websites. Doesn't it make you proud to be an American, huh? Doesn't it? Past the hour. The latest on BP. BP is just obviously one of the most predatory corporations in the history of predatory corporations, going all the way back to forever. You know, overthrowing governments, destroying nations, having people assassinated who don't want their countries polluted. Doing what they did in the Gulf. And all that stuff about Beyond Petroleum, the little green flower, the little green and yellow flower. I have to admit, you know, I never paid too much attention to other oil companies. I was always fixated on Exxon Mobil for what they did in Alaska. And, so when BP came out with their advertising campaign, 10 years ago, whenever it was, a little green yellow flower, you know, I thought, well, damn, there's a, see, I didn't realize that BP was the, I should have, that BP was the oil company that was involved in the overthrow of Mohammad Mossadegh in Iran in 1953. But anyway, the latest with BP, woohoo! This is published today at The Nation. The Nation magazine has just a quick synopsis here. The Nation magazine has revealed new details about how BP is receiving tax credits, guess from you know whom, for relying on cheap or free prison labor to help clean up the Gulf spill. Prisoners. A foreign corporation is using American prisoners and being given tax credits for it. The use of prison labor has been criticized by people in that region. I didn't know about this. Did you know about it, Truth Seeker? Since the disaster left so many people out of work. But why should BP hire people and pay them? You watch these commercials. They usually come on at supper, during the supper hour, right? Or for you Yankees, during the dinner hour, right? You're sitting there and just kind of checking out the little screen in the kitchen TV and trying not to pay too much attention to it. And all of a sudden, you get these institutional ads from BP. You get these people. I was born down here. I'm from New Orleans. I'm from Louisiana. And we're not going to leave. And we got 5,000 ships out there and we got 160,000 people and we're doing this and we're doing that. We got money in the escrow and we're happy to. And not once do they ever mention that they're using free prison labor for which they get a tax credit. I missed that part. Each new prisoner hired by BP comes with a tax credit of $2,400. Man. And how many of them, you want to bet, are black? On top of that, BP may earn back up to 40% of the wages they pay to prisoners. They get it back. The money that they pay to prisoners. Prison workers are required to work up to 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, 72 hours a week, and are liable to lose earned good time if they refuse the job. Inmates are also forbidden to talk to the public or media. It is unclear how many prisoners are working on the cleanup, in part because they now wear unidentifiable clothing. Yeah, well, I hope to shout. In the days after the spill, prison workers were seen wearing scarlet pants and white T-shirts with the words, "Inmate Labor," printed in large red block letters. I don't remember seeing that. So, the wages they pay to prisoners, how much, and BP gets 40% of it back in it. Tax credit. Known to some as the inmate state, Louisiana has the highest rate of incarceration of any other state in the country. 70% of its 39,000 inmates are, here's the surprise, African-American men. Louisiana Department of Corrections only has beds for half that many prisoners. So 20,000 inmates live in parish jails, privately run contract facilities, and for-profit work release centers. You see, the prisoners don't really get paid anything. The contractors do. Kind of like farm labor in this country, right? Contracted farm labor. Prisons and parish jails provide free daily labor to the state and private companies like BP, while also operating their own factories and farms where inmates earn between zero and 40 cents an hour. Son of a bitch. You proud? Hey, are you proud? Are you proud? Oh, Piyush Jindal. He would know about that kind of wages for labor, wouldn't he? Yes, he would. There's more. Stick around.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. So, BP is using prison labor in Louisiana, probably Mississippi, Alabama, Texas, and Florida, too. But A.B. Louise Young, writing at The Nation, published today at their website, nation.com, They're getting free labor. They're getting prison labor. It's astonishing. While people who desperately need jobs, people who are not incarcerated on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, go unemployed. Now, as the article states, the advantage for private companies that do this is that these trustees, these prisoners, are covered under something called the Work Opportunity Tax Credit, which is a holdover from Bush's welfare to work legislation that rewards private sector employers for hiring risky target groups. Businesses earn a tax credit of $2,400 for every work release inmate they hire. And on top of that, they can earn back up to 40% of the wages they pay annually to target group workers. Now, like I said, I wasn't aware of this, which doesn't mean that it hasn't been out there for consumption. But as the nation says, if BP's use of prison labor remains an open secret on the Gulf Coast, no one in an official capacity is saying so. At the Grand Isle Base camp in early June, the author here called BP's public information line and visited representatives for the Coast Guard Public Relations Team, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Louisiana Fisheries and Wildlife Department. They were all stumped. My question was, were inmates doing shore protection or oil cleanup work? They had no idea. In fact, they said they'd like to know. And would I call them if I found out? Can you believe this? Doesn't this make you want to break things? It damn sure does me. The Coast Guard Public Relations Team, BP's Public Information Line, the Department of Homeland Security, Louisiana Fisheries and Wildlife Department were all asked the question, are you using prison labor? Yeah, well, I don't know. Well, were you writing a story? Yes, I am. Well, let us know what you find out. I have no idea. And it took this writer, a day. He went to the LaForche Parish Work Release Center jail just off Highway 90 in Louisiana, halfway between New Orleans and Houma, Louisiana. Men were returning from a long day of shoveling oil-soaked sand into black trash bags in the sweltering heat, wearing BP shirts, jeans, and rubber boots, nothing identifying them as inmates. They arrived back at the jail in unmarked white vans, looking dog-tired. Oh! Where they removed their clothing and got back into prison garb. The author goes on, work release inmates are required to work for up to 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, sometimes averaging 72 hours per week. These are long hours for performing what may arguably be the most toxic job in America. Yeah, but these are prisoners, and most of them are black. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Although the dangers of mixed oil and dispersant exposure are largely unknown, not for long. The chemicals in crude oil can damage every system in the body. The chemicals in crude oil can damage every system in the body. Heart, lungs, livers, kidneys, stomach, digestive, brain, respiratory, as well as cell structures and DNA. But they're prisoners and they're black! Inmates can't pick and choose their work assignments, and they face considerable repercussions for rejecting any job, including loss of earned good time. You know, when you go to prison, you get good time. Yeah, if you're a good boy, they'll throw you a bone once in a while. Sit. Yes, sir. Good boy. The warden of the Terrebonne Parish Work Release Center in Houma, Louisiana, explains, quote, if they say no to a job, they get that time that was taken off their sentence put right back on, and they get sent right back to the lockup they came out of. Isn't that a bitch? Oh, that's a knee slapper. Isn't that funny? That means that work release inmates who would rather protect their health than participate in the non-stop toxic cleanup run the risk of staying in prison longer. Now, you know, and I know, And the Nation article restates, prisoners are already subject to well-documented health care deprivations while incarcerated. They're unlikely to have health insurance after release. Work release positions are covered by workman's comp insurance. But pursuing claims long after exposure could be a Kafkaesque task. Besides, there's currently no system for tracking the medical impact of oil and dispersant exposure to cleanup workers or affected communities. Well, what that means is 7 or 8 years from now, you're going to be home some afternoon, you're going to turn on cable TV and you're trying to watch something, and all of a sudden the commercials will come on run by some law firm in Texas. Were you exposed to the BP oil spill back in 2010? Recent medical evidence shows that people exposed to that spill are now suffering all kinds of cancers. Call us. By God, we'll take your case. You've seen them. The commercials are out there now for asbestos and various drugs. They're already some enterprising law firm has got an ad up for Avandia. Did you take Avandia? Hot damn, you may be a millionaire. Don't even know. Of course, you're going to die soon, but we'll get our cut. To learn how many of the 20,000 prisoners housed outside of state prisons in local parish jails are involved in spill-related labor, the writer called the Department of Corrections Public Relations Officer Pam Laborde, who ultimately discouraged the writer from seeking such information. She said, "Well, frankly, I do not know where your story's going, but it does not sound positive." What are you going to write about, boy, girl? What are you? And going to prison officials directly didn't help the writer. The warden of a South Louisiana jail refused to discuss the matter, saying, quote, "You want me to lose my job?" A different warden of a privately owned prison admitted on condition of anonymity that inmates from his facility had been employed in oil cleanup, but declined to answer further questions. Jefferson Parish President Steve Theriot and Plaquemines Parish President Billy Nungesser. You've seen Billy Nungesser all over TV, haven't you, Truth Seeker? He was out there with old the Raging Cajun. James Carville. You know, big old Billy Nungesser, and he was just out there making the case for, by God, we got people out here been fishing and shrimping for generations. Even some of them old slopes have been over here now for two generations, but I'll tell you what, we need some help. And you listen to big old Billy Nungesser. You know, when you see Nungesser and Carville stand together, Nungesser, Carville looks like he's been through a famine. And Nungesser looked like he caused it. But there they are, huh? There's old James Carville just talking all that, trying to get all Cajun on you, right? Huh? There he is. And Billy Nungesser. Well, guess what about Billy Nungesser? They wouldn't answer any questions either. What? Prisoners? Out here? Where? I don't see any prisoners. Where's the prisoners? You see prisoners? What are all those people down on the beach with the shovels and bam? I don't see nothing. I see a bunch of birds. No, right there. I don't know what you're looking at there, boy. Some officials have been a little bit more forthcoming. A lieutenant in the Plaquemines Parish Sheriff's Office told the writer that three crews of inmates were sandbagging in Burris, Louisiana, in case oil hit there. The lieutenant said, quote, "They're not getting paid. It's part of their sentence. They'll work as long as they're needed. It's a hard job because of the heat, but they're not refusing to work." I wouldn't think so. In early May, Governor Piyush Jindal's office sent out a press release heralding the training of 80 inmates from Elaine Hunt Correctional Center. They got trained in, quote, "cleaning of oil-impacted wildlife recovered from coastal areas," end quote. God damn, we trained them. Now, you know what? When these boys get out of prison, well, hell, they can go anywhere on earth and find them old oil-soaked critters and clean them up. That's almost like having a high school diploma. However, the Department of Corrections spokesperson, Pam Laborde, subsequently denied what Piyush Jindal said. She said, no inmates participated in wildlife cleaning efforts. What are you talking about? Oh, no! Pa Ayush is lying? Oh, that couldn't be. He's a good Christian man. Isn't he? You still with me? There's a little bit more of this. I'll just be double damned. How about you, Truth Seeker? Huh? Prison labor from BP. BP is getting prison labor. They get a $2,400 per person tax break, and then they get 40% of what they pay to the private contractors back in a further tax break. Don't you want to just break something?
People are gonna rise up and take what's there.
Radio right from the left. It's more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. I'm no good with the German pronunciation. I just can't get all that guttural. But what was the slogan placed over Nazi concentration and death camps, most infamously at Auschwitz? Arbeit macht frei. Arbeit macht frei. Work makes you free. And you thought that was all gone. Well, not in Louisiana. Bruce in Pennsylvania writes, Mike, I heard about this captive workforce BP is using to clean up the mess on the shores of the Gulf today on Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman's program. One thing that I didn't hear mentioned was the fact that the backgrounds of these inmates will prohibit them from filing any sort of lawsuit in the future if or when they begin having health issues due to the chemical exposure. This is essentially a death sentence for these inmates. It may not happen as fast as a lethal injection, but it is a death sentence. The fact that inmates are coerced to accept the work under the threat of losing their good time is just another trick that the neo-fascists who have gained control of our legal system are using to turn the prison system into the modern version of a Nazi work camp. Work makes you free. Bruce in Pennsylvania. Arbach mach frei. Frei? Frei? I just don't do good with German. Well, that certainly was a revelation to me when I got the Nation article today. Back to the situation in Arizona that the governor is trying to promote so they can get more prisoners there. Lies in the Catskills writes, Mike, what's striking about the dialogue about migrant workers in Arizona is not what is being said, but what is not being said. Migrants come because they have no future in their own country. They have no future because brown-skinned mestizos do not have the same opportunities as Mexicans descended from the Spanish. Mexico is a racist country, purely and simply. Add to that the devastating effect of NAFTA, and the fact that Mexican farmers cannot sell corn as cheaply as American agribusiness can. Add to that the fact that thousands of farmers were sold sterile corn by Monsanto several years ago. And when that corn did not grow the following year, Monsanto took their land. Add to that the fact that our government will not pressure their government to reform because our large companies, in fact, love cheap, non-unionized immigrant labor, especially when that labor is provided by migrants who won't say a word about being paid a pittance for their work. My husband and I visited Tucson last December and visited the Green Valley Samaritans, one of the groups that leave water in the desert for crossing migrants. According to the Samaritans, there are 400 recorded deaths in the desert each year. For each body found, it is estimated that there are 10 were never found. People who die from the heat, from dehydration, from illness or injury, from the coyotes, from robbers, from Minutemen, perhaps. Their deaths are unrecorded, and their bodies never recovered from the vast mesquite-covered Sonoran Desert. These people come to work menial jobs. They come because they are desperate. They come because they have no choice. The governor is quite mad. Most migrants don't commit any kind of crime because they don't want to attract attention to themselves. Their salvation lies in anonymity. And that's the truth. Lies in the Catskills. The prison industrial complex, which is something that we, in our shame, on the Malloy program, have not given enough attention to. I don't think I've brought it up in 5 years. But it's a booming business. That's one thing you can't outsource, at least not yet. They haven't figured out a way yet to send the prisoners to China, but by Christ, they probably will. 40 cents an hour for working with chemical dispersants and BP sludge down in Louisiana. 0 to 40 cents an hour. Woohoo! Hot damn! For a 12-hour day, that's almost $5. For a 6-day week, that's $30. For a 4-week month, that's $120. Still too high! Still too high! Yeah, but you get the $2,400 per worker tax break. Still too high! Yeah, but you get a 40% rebate on the 40 cents. Still too high! We want the labor the way it's supposed to be. Free! Slave! Dark-skinned! But, that doesn't seem right. Get out of my way, boy! The only request I have is for you right-wing vermin. Don't send me your emails. You are so stupid. You are so ignorant. You don't know what's going on. You have no idea. And if you did, you would be happy to participate.
Yeah, I'd like one of them companies. Some bitch, I could get rich. Y'all hire me about 400 or 500 of them Africans and, you know, out of the prisons down there. Well, hell, they'd rather be out working that 110-degree heat than sitting in a cell in 120-degree heat, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they, Mike? Wouldn't they? Wouldn't they, Mike? Huh, Mike? What do you think, Mike? Huh, Mike?
Daniel Shore died. 93 years old, one of the last of the Edward R. Murrow gang of truthers. Daniel Shore died, 93 years old. Bless his heart. At the bottom of this hour, we will give away a one-year commercial-free podcast subscription download thingy. The bottom of this hour, not right now. All you have to do is answer a multiple-choice question, and it's yours. So at the bottom of the hour break, we will open up the lines, and you can take a shot at it if you like. Steve the banker wants to weigh in on this. He says, Mike, if BP gets tax breaks for each of the prison labor employees, it might add up to hundreds of millions of dollars. And actually, they may receive many, many more loophole tax breaks and subsidies. Then how much do you think BP really is paying the U.S. citizens or the companies that have been economically damaged because of their environmental disaster? What if the $20 billion BP was supposed to pay us, or to pay the U.S. out of BP funds? Remember, we talked about how none of these funds is going to come from BP cash assets. And now we know, in large part, much of that $20 billion is mitigated by U.S. slave labor and U.S. tax subsidies. Sounds like typical Republican Southern strategy and oil industry distribution of wealth. No way was the oil company going to allow the U.S. citizen affect an oil company. What were we thinking? BP is paying €0 to the United States for this mess, but some of that money is going to Republican election commercials. Meanwhile, the 18-year-old who can't find a job will have to enlist and maybe have his head blown off protecting BP. Steve the banker. Do you remember, not that you remember it, but you remember hearing about War of the Worlds, the Mercury Radio Theater broadcast back in the late 30s? Prairie 2 writes tonight, subject line, War of the Worlds on the Mercury Radio Theater, a division of News Corps. Ladies and gentlemen, I've just been handed a message that came in from Grover's Mill by telephone. Just a moment. Yes, at least 40 people, including six state troopers, lie dead in a field east of the village of Grover's Mill. Their bodies burned and distorted beyond all possible recognition. The next voice you hear will be that of Brigadier General Montgomery Smith, commander of the state militia at Trenton, New Jersey. That was the 8 p.m. news on October 30th, 1938, as broadcast by CBS Radio. Of course, it wasn't news, and nobody who listened to the radio play thought that it was. This didn't stop William Randolph Hearst, who was the Rupert Murdoch of his day, from plastering headlines on his newspapers about the panic that never happened. Researchers have never been able to find a single reference on the police blotters to any of the horrifying panic-spawned events that Hearst reported as irrefutable fact. Today we have a media that again operates the same way Hearst did in 1938. Hearst had a large chain of newspapers that specialized in sensational stories, often simply made up, that were not intended to inform, but to mold his followers to his political advantage. Everything from the Spanish-American War to Reefer Madness was created by the yellow journalism of Hearst, and other newspapers would repeat this news without question if it sounded good. It's even become so-called history that is rarely questioned because it sounds good. The accusations of reverse racism by Fox News against Shirley Sherrod were treated as fact in much the same way. They had the tape, after all, just as Hearst had the proof on Orson Welles by his own broadcast. He had the pictures of the USS Maine sunk in Havana Harbor, the result of the negligent storage of gunpowder in the heat, not sabotage, and the Navy knew this. And everybody came to know what Reefer Madness would do to black men, thanks to the science provided by Hearst, no matter that it was all lies designed to further Hearst's ambitions. And so we've come full circle. The media, again, are in the hands of billionaires who have caused another Great Depression, and they don't want anything done about it. Hearst had seized the opportunity to delegitimize the new medium of radio that FDR was using effectively to put forward the New Deal. FDR wasn't shy about calling out the economic royalists like Hearst. Well, the newspapers called FDR a communist, and worse, for helping the common man. For all the lasting damage that Hearst did, in the end, Orson Welles got the last laugh on Hearst with the movie Citizen Kane. And FDR gave us 50 years of prosperity. But the lessons learned have worked well for Rupert Murdoch, who really does use his radio players to create the news. We take you now to Grover's Mill, New Jersey, for our correspondent, Glenn Beck. PrairieNumeral2.com. Remember the Maine. Hey, how about those Senate Democrats, huh? Don't you just love these Democrats? After almost a year of trying to build consensus, top Democrats yesterday admitted that a sweeping climate and energy bill simply couldn't be done because those darn old Republicans were unwilling to contribute votes or ideas toward forging a compromise. At a press conference on the Hill, climate crusader John Kerry called the prospect admittedly narrow. I don't think it's going to happen. Majority Leader Harry Reid followed with a frank conclusion. We simply don't have the votes. The plan had been to package climate with a so-called spill bill, a measure responding to lax regulation on offshore drilling and broader energy development. Harnessing the outrage and anger at the situation in the Gulf at the moment gave Democrats the biggest momentum in years. Climate advocates hoped that images of oil-soaked birds would be able to bring together at least 60 votes. But Republicans vowed to filibuster anything that put a price on carbon. And every time Kerry and Reid went to the count, they fell short. We live in the United States of America. You need 60 votes, by God! Environmental groups were slow to respond. This is according to Newsweek. Environmental groups were slow to respond to news of the forfeit in a seeming state of paralysis after months of strenuous pushing. Jackie Savitz, a senior scientist with Oceana, said, quote, it seems that too many of our leaders are still beholden to industry. Other groups were simply incredulous. A spokesman told Newsweek when informed of the news, you've got to be kidding me. Senator Kerry urged supporters to try to push other senators to eventually come around and promised that the Senate would eventually return to the issue. It's unclear when or what it would actually happen, but some environmentalists held out hope. Ben Schreiber, an analyst with Friends of the Earth, said that cap and trade was a flawed idea from the beginning and a more effective climate bill may still be possible for next year. In the meantime, the task of cutting carbon pollution appears to fall to the EPA. which has had the power, backed by the Supreme Court, to impose emission cuts since 2007, yet EPA has urged Congress since then for a legislative solution. With nothing on the horizon now, the agency, the EPA, is scheduled to usher in a new set of controversial regulations targeting top polluters at the end of this year. How about those Democrats? Well, we couldn't get the 60 votes, so I'll tell you what, gosh darn it, we're just all going to burn up. We're just all going to be breathing poison. We're just all going to, well, is it hot enough for you? And then, of course, there's this psychopathic Jim Inhofe, who is clearly stating, there's no global warming. What are you talking about? It snowed last winter. That's not global warming, that's snow. Jesus, what's wrong with you liberals? There's nothing happening. Nothing going on. Yeah. Hey, don't it make your red stain blue? You know that neocons have told you lies. When they get caught, they give you $2 cents. Well, they don't worry about what makes you cry. Your child's in a rut. Are they gonna die? Gasoline's in short supply. ExxonMobil is barely getting by. With millions in profits, it's just another lie.
Yourself with the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. All right, boys and girls, at the bottom of the hour, coming up right after the next break. If you want to play podcast trivia, you can win a free 1-year subscription to Malloy program downloads. You know what I'm talking about. Right after the next break. Not only have the Democrats folded their tents and slipped into the night where it concerned the climate bill, but also, according to the AP, today,
after a take-it-or-leave-it vote by the Senate, House Democrats face little choice but to drop billions in aid for schools, colleges, students, and others that they had hoped could ride on legislation paying for President Barack Obama's troop surge in Afghanistan. The Senate rejected the House measure passed earlier this month by a 46-51 vote that fell short of a majority, much less the 60 votes required to defeat a filibuster. Instead, the Senate stripped out the $20 billion in House add-ons and returned to the House an almost $60 billion measure passed by a bipartisan vote in May. The Senate measure is limited chiefly to war funding, foreign aid, medical care for Vietnam veterans exposed to Agent Orange, and replenishing almost empty disaster aid accounts. 11 Senate Democrats and Joe Lieberman of Connecticut voted against the House version of the bill. Not a single Republican supported it.
That's it. Republican or the Democrats collapse on everything. You know, people do not like my idea of letting the Republicans have everything. Why not? Nothing is, nothing's being done. The Republicans have, what do they have? How many seats do they have? 40, 41? And the Democrats can do nothing. Incredible. Well, it's too bad that Pelosi and Reid both won their primaries. Do they have primaries yet? Because the people running against both of them are just, you know, right-wing crazy people. But, you know, I talk about just letting the Republicans have it, and people go ballistic. Are you crazy, Mike? Jesus, what about the Supreme Court? What about? Well, what about anything? I mean, what is being done now? No money for schools, roads, bridges, hospitals, railroad. Well, you try to say it. Beds, dams, nothing. Education? Well, there's race to the top. Race to the top. All right, everybody, line up. We're gonna have a race to the top.
What does that mean?
Well, that means that all the schools are going to compete, and we're going to have all these really cool tests. And if your school does well on the tests and races to the top, well, there'll be money for you.
Race to the top? What about an education?
No. It's America, 21st century. We don't want any education. Are you crazy? Jesus. Are you mad? We want low-wage workers. We want people to get out there and stop this bitching and complaining about no unions and get your ass in gear, folks. I mean, $8 an hour is a lot of money.
Race to the top. No child left behind. Whatever happened to just education? Whatever happened to that? We are sending Molly to a public school. She starts first grade in about 3 weeks. And it's a public school that is one of Georgia's schools of excellence, which means that they have low turnover in the faculty. They have a decent teacher-pupil ratio. And they actually teach science, foreign language, math, English, sentence structure, grammar, music, art. I don't know how this school does it. Because it's in a system here in Georgia, as is most county school systems, it's in a system that's collapsing. But when I went over to pick up her pre-registration packet a couple of days ago and met the principal, and we sat and talked for a while, and the principal said, well, and I asked her, I said, how do you do this? She said, we have a very, very, very active PTA. The parents get involved. And I like that. I think that's a good idea. But the Obama administration doesn't. We got to make war. War. We have to give aid for the bridges and dams in Pakistan and that other place. It's time once again for Podcast Radio on the Malloy Program. At 25 before the hour, that's where you can win a one-year subscription to Malloy Show podcast downloads commercial-free. All I have to do is get the right answer to the multiple-choice question we're about to ask you. The actual retail value of a one-year subscription to Malloy podcast downloads commercial-free is $59.40, but it's yours free if you get the right answer. All right, cut the music. Cut the music. Thanks. AJ is in Cleveland.
Hey, Mike. Hey. Really get a shot.
All right. Let's. You watch the news. You know what's going on, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Here we go. Start the new music. Andrew Breitbart created a firestorm with his slanderous editing of Shirley Sherrod's NAACP speech to make it appear she was a racist, which was the complete opposite message she was conveying. But it's not the first time this thug has demonstrated his crassness. Following his death, what politician did Breitbart call a villain, a duplicitous bastard, and a special pile of human excrement? Was it A, Senator Ted Kennedy, B, Senator Robert Byrd, C, former President Ronald Reagan, or D, Senator Paul Wellstone?
I'm going to have to go with Senator Kennedy.
You're right.
All right.
All right, AJ. You win the 1 year. I would not have known the answer to that. I had no idea when Madam Producer gave this to me.
Well, I work with a libertarian, and I call the show often, and so I know that all libertarians and conservatives pretty much hate Kennedy. So.
I didn't know that he called him a special pile of human excrement, Senator Ted Kennedy. Somebody needs to relieve Breitbart of his agony that he's obviously in. All right, hey, listen, thanks, AJ. Hold on. Kathy will get the pertinent information from you. And congratulations. AJ. We have another AJ. AJ the Music Factory. That I haven't heard from in forever. All right, regarding, you know, my sick and twisted idea of giving it to the Republicans, here's another comment on that from Terry, who writes, after a lot of consideration, I believe that I've deduced the flaws in your Let the Republicans Take Over campaign. To begin with, every time you describe your scenario of turning the reins of power over to the Republicans, you end up rather lightly glossing over how, quote, the people will come to their senses, rise up and take back our country and begin the rebuilding process, end quote, or something to that effect. And this is the area where I think the flaws in your reasoning reside. The first flaw that comes up is that during the initial downward struggle, our most active and dedicated freedom fighters, like you, will be chewed up and or nullified, leaving a vital vacuum of critical leadership and thus organizational capabilities before, during, and after the collapse. Next, the corporate masters will not physically stick around and allow themselves to be accessible by or even susceptible to the boiling cauldron of desperate and angry citizenry. Instead, they will remotely control their military, congressional, industrial, financial, energy, health, etc. complex machinery, much as they already do. You should keep in mind that we are currently living in an electronic era that is unprecedented in history, and thus without as many applicable historic guidelines as before. In revolutions of the past, the abused populace knew precisely who and where their abusing masters resided. That is just not so today. In one of your rants on this subject, you mentioned bringing back the guillotine. Tell me, Mike, just how do you cut the head off a corporation? Since corporations can, with just a few keystrokes, remove their headquarters and capital, or move their headquarters and their capital around the globe at the speed of light, how do you propose catching up with them to, quote, cut their heads off, end quote? Consider that even though you know the name Rothschild, you would not even know where to begin finding one of their many family members. Okay. The last major flaw that I have come up with can best be described using a scenario of my own. Imagine the psychopaths are in charge, and also keep in mind their track records. Just how long do you think it will take for one or some of them to spark a true and irreversible extinction-level event? My estimate is that it would occur way before we severely repressed slaves would be able to stop or moderate it, if we were even alerted to its imminent occurrence. No, I for one don't think the odds would be in favor of ever coming back from a full collapse. In fact, I believe that the survival of the world could rest on this next midterm election. I know, we hear this every election these days. So much do I believe that I have just spent over 30 hours putting together on a website my concept of how we can avert the very disaster that you have been promoting. On this site, I've embedded many links to make my various points and several of the links connected to other websites that are media-related. Since your concept of going limp, passive resistance, is contrary to mine, I regrettably can't include a link to your site. However, I can readily change my website should you change your perspective. Perhaps this issue warrants a full and dedicated discussion among all of us 42 listeners on one of your shows some night. Respectfully and with love, Terry. Well, I don't see the link to your site here. Oh, I see. There's a hyperlink, but it doesn't tell me what it is. Well, I will try to get it and pass it on to people who listen. Thank you, Terry. When did you write this? You wrote this today? 11 o'clock this morning. But I've already kind of more or less without a doubt, really, I honestly have. Trust me, I've done it. No, I've changed my mind. I really have. And probably for the very reasons that you cite. Jeff writes, This was the day before yesterday. Mike, here I go, preaching the choir again. Today on NPR, they announced that the Obamaites don't have sufficient evidence to prosecute the Republican operatives that fired the nine Justice Department. You've got judges here, Jeff, but you mean the attorneys, the federal attorneys. What a load of usual crap. Democrats laying down and being trampled. Today on television, the BP blowout program aired. That was Jeff, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I can't read what you've got here. Okay. Well, I'm sorry, Jeff. I don't know, maybe you could try to rewrite it and send it to me. I don't get the sentences. I'm sorry. It's probably me. Roger's in L.A. listening on KTLK. Hello, Roger.
Yeah, Mike. In Louisiana, you said the number of prisoners in the jails, it outnumbers the ones in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
But then Louisiana doesn't have any illegal problems. How come it's all full? So it's not created by the people, illegal or anything. It's the people from here.
Well, that's true. That's true. But you can't convince the American public of the truth of, for example, what you just said. And the reason is that the part of our corporate media that should be defending or at least explaining to the American public why these immigrants are coming, undocumented workers are coming, that part of media does not function. The part of media in our country that do function, or the parts of media that do function, are the right-wing neo-Nazi crazy people like Beck and Murdoch and the rest of these folks. So the American public, once again, does not get anything even remotely resembling the truth or facts with which the American public might be able to form an opinion and take action.
Yeah, that's right. And then, in today's, I'm calling from L.A., so in the L.A. Times, there is an article about the Arizona have problems a lot of the Spanish people have moved out. Their business there is going to go down like at least 15% or more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure when it comes in November, they will be feeling that pinch, the business problem there in 3 months. So that may have some effect on how the polling goes there.
Well, earlier this evening, I was citing a nation.com article. No, that was about Louisiana. A different article about even though there might be a drop in revenue from tourists or from businesses locating in the state, there are businesses that are going to be very happy there, and that's the prison industrial complex. We make a lot of money in this country, Roger, as you may or may not know, from locking people up and exploiting the hell out of them. Even though there is a problem in Phoenix, It's not really going to affect the state of Arizona. They'll just make up for it with slave labor. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Good to meet girl, a sweet little queen who can't run away. Queen of mine.
Before the hour, Susan is in Sunny Squim.
Hi, Mike. How are you tonight?
Fair to partly cloudy. How about you?
Yeah, same here. You know, I've been racking my brain on this Breitbart guy, and he doesn't do anything without a real motive. And I kept wondering, why now? What's going on? And then I started hearing some stuff and putting it together.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He's after more than just Ms. Sherrard, and the NACP is just a little bonus for him. That bill to give the farmers in Georgia the money that they won in the lawsuit, $1.4 billion,
mm-hmm.
that I'm sure you're familiar with the lawsuit that the right. Sherrards helped with, years ago, back in 96, they brought that suit, and it was from back in the 80s when they were had all their farms taken away.
Right.
Illegally. Well, it was against the Department of Agriculture, and the president signed off on it last year. But the Congress has to give the money, and they have to okay it. And the money for it is attached to, in the Senate, the bill to fund the military for the wars.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans want it stripped out. So this bombshell was dropped when it was in an attempt to discredit everything that the Sherrards had done and to discredit the farmers in Georgia, the black farmers in Georgia, to keep so that they won't look bad stripping it out. They're going to take it out, so they're not going to get their money.
At this point, I would disagree with you. I think this is one of these deals where Breitbart or his scummy ilk were too smart by half, because now that all this publicity has been generated, it almost guarantees that that compensation will be left in. If it were to come out after all this ugliness put out there by this pig Breitbart, then I don't see how the Obama administration, to whatever extent they're involved in this — they don't make the laws, but he has to sign them — I don't think the Obama administration could handle the firestorm. So,
well, they would like that too, but the thing that they're ginning up right now is that, well, this, you know, she might not have, she might not be a racist, and that might, you know, we made a mistake on that. But when we looked into it, this whole farm thing is fishy, and she got her job because of this farm thing, and they shouldn't get their money because of that. And that's the kind of thing they're saying there on their side of the house.
Right, but Susan, they're only talking to themselves at this point. Breitbart had his little moment of squishy fame or infamy when he got quoted and his video and his ugly face was all over media. But now these right-wing bastards are only playing and talking to themselves. I don't think there's any chance. And I know
I hope you're right.
Well, I do too.
You know, have I told you how much I hate these bastards?
I think you have many, many times. But I think, see, that's one thing about publicity, massive tons of publicity. It shines a light on, for in this case, first of all, the perpetrator, the lying little bastard Breitbart, who is he's a failed everything. He's a bottom feeder. But it also shines light on, I mean, how many Americans have a clue about unless you're a black farmer, about what happened to black farmers all over the South, not just here in Georgia?
That's true. I wasn't surprised, but I did not know the details of it until this came out. And you're right.
And now it
has shined a light on it.
And now it turns out that it wasn't just black farmers. There were also some white farmers who...
Yes,
who
poor farmers.
Right. Poor is the operative word.
Poor farmers versus corporate farmers.
Right. And, of course, you know, farmers are to be destroyed. And corporate farming is to emerge victorious.
What got me on this whole thing was the farm that Sherrard and her husband started, a big community farm for all these farmers that had their farms taken away, and even that got plowed under.
Well, now I'm not familiar with that part of the story.
Yeah, it was on one of the One of the MSN shows, I can't remember which one, whether it was Rachel
Yes, the operative word is poor farmers, but the fact is that in the South, so many of the so-called poor farmers were black farmers. They were targeted. Nobody wanted, you know, ever since the promise of 40 acres and a mule, whites, not just in the South, primarily in the South, but not just here in the South, whites have not wanted that to happen at all. So the 40 acres and a mule never occurred. Every time there's a talk about reparations, white people go berserk. Every time there's talk about the black farmers being compensated for the thievery and fraud and injustice that was perpetrated against them, white people go berserk. I don't think Breitbart is very smart. All he was trying to do is to put another brick in the wall where it concerns, well, see, you put a Kenyan in as president and the whole damn administration is full of racists.
Yeah, that's getting old, isn't it?
That's the way they project their own racism off, you know. But
they're using racism to control an issue.
Sure. Well, so did Nixon.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I got to go. Thanks, Susan.
Okay.
I appreciate you checking in. It was a good thought. But I think in this case, Breitbart was just a dumbass. That's all. He's not that bright to think of something like that. I'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. Have a great weekend, Kevin, Kenny, wherever you are.
Kevin Richards.